Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Then remaining in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He is dispersed abroad. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Verses 1 through 10, all of Psalm 112. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful, the blessed, and the grace-filled and light-filled and mercy-filled Word of God. Thank you for the many ways that your Word is pregnant with the ability to bless us, to empower us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to lift us up. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that the Word of God is you, and you are the Word of God. Father, Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of wisdom and grace so that we will grow in understanding of the tremendous place your Word needs to have in our lives, and help us to be wise enough to put it to work mightily and faithfully every day of our lives for your glory. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your provision. Father, I know that when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he told them to pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, I know that in heaven, all these people are prospering in your presence. And Father, I ask for that to come down here into the midst of this sea, that we could prosper in your presence, Father. Thank you so much for being present with us through the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for your empowerment, for how you equip us and how you give us everything we need for your kingdom, for your will. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to remind you once again about an event that's happening this weekend, and we're asking for your prayers for it. It is an event called Walk Through the Bible OT Live, and it's a really neat seminar that I have the privilege of leading. It's going to happen in Jackson, Mississippi, this Saturday at 9 a.m. at Pearl Street AME Church at 2519 Robinson Street in Jackson, Mississippi. It's a neat seminar in that it takes you all the way through the Old Testament in about a two-session setting. It takes you through the story of the Old Testament in a sort of an outlined sort of way, but also helps you see that the Bible is one story. You know, sometimes we think of the Bible as being a book of many stories, but actually it's one story. It's God's story, and a wonderful and a grand story it is. And so if you can be with us at 9 a.m. In Jackson, Mississippi this Saturday on February 22nd, Again, Pearl Street AME Church, 2519 Robinson Street. We invite you to come. If you can't be with us, please pray for the Lord to mightily anoint the event. And keep in mind, one of the goals behind the event is to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, set people on fire with a passion to read the Word of God absolutely every single day. It is a seminar that uses a kinetic learning exercise that makes it a very fun, even a more fun event than it would be otherwise, and a neat learning tool as well. So today on the broadcast, we want to talk to you about that's the subject of a walk through the Bible and give you a little bit of a taste of what the workshop covers. But also, if you're not reading your Bible every day, our goal is to encourage you and by the grace of God, challenge you to start that very, very important habit. Keep in mind, the reality is so many, obviously, people in the world don't take serious the important place God's Word needs to have in the life of every human being. Obviously, people in the world don't. But the sad reality is many believers don't see how critically important it is to be the student of Scripture that God calls us to be. So the fact is, we're called to be believers who read and meditate on the Word of God day and night. You know, just as a few moments ago, as I read Psalm 1, keep in mind, it's a short psalm, but I'm going to read it again, and I want you to listen to the wisdom and the counsel God is saying to you about the critical place God's Word needs to have in your life. Listen to everything this psalm says. It's only 6 short verses, but listen to the powerful exhortation that encourages you to be a serious student of Scripture and the fruit that comes. Again, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All of Psalm 1. Again, note, verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The Lord Jesus tells us in the Word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Now, I want you to think about this. How important is the bread that you eat? In other words, the food that you eat on a daily basis. How important is the food that you eat every day? Now, a typical reaction is, oh, it's very important to eat. You know, I can't be strong and nourished and adequately taken care of without eating every day. Well, in our humanness, we recognize that eating food every day is very, very important to our physical well-being. Well, the fact is, consuming the Word of God on a daily basis is even more important than eating food for your body. Now, the reality is many people don't believe that. But yes, it is. We can't survive without the wonderful and powerful Word of God. So as we look at this presentation about walking through the Bible, specifically the Old Testament, we begin in the book of Genesis. And I want you to keep in mind, Genesis is 50 chapters. And the key word in the book of Genesis is beginnings. Keep in mind, there are 4 key people in the book of Genesis: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And then there are 4 main events that happen in the book of Genesis: the creation, the fall, the flood, and the scattering of nations. And keep in mind, amongst other things, the Bible is an autobiography. It's a book by God about God. Now, God used 40 or so secretaries. God inspired every word of the Bible from Genesis 1 all the way to the end of the book of Revelation. So God has inspired it. So in the truest sense of the word, the Bible is an autobiography. And so Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, is the chapter God uses to introduce us not just to the book of Genesis. Yes, Genesis 1 introduces us to the book of Genesis, but also Genesis chapter 1 is the chapter God uses to introduce us to the whole Bible, to all of the Word of God. And he introduces us to his Word by telling us the wonderful and the powerful and the magnificent story of creation. We're going to take time to read through Genesis 1, and if we don't finish, we'll finish on the other side of the break. But Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth," and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis chapter 1. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're today looking at the topic, A Walk Through the Bible, Old Testament Live. We'll be right back.
Bread of life, sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, faith now.
Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Sent down from glory.
Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth. A holy king, a carpenter. You are the
awesome ruler.
Awesome ruler.
Gentile.
The music of Fred Hammond with You Are the Living Word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Again, today we're looking at the topic of Walk Through the Bible, Old Testament Live. And again, we're encouraging, if you live in the Jackson, Mississippi community, we invite you to come out to Pearl Street AME Church, 9 o'clock this Saturday, February 22nd, and be with us for a Walk Through the Bible seminar, Old Testament Live. Again, it's a fun seminar, but also it's a wonderful tool for the Holy Spirit to set you on fire with a passion to read your Bible, to read the Word of God every single day. We just read Genesis chapter 1, and actually I'm going to read a portion of that chapter once again, going back, picking up at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. End of Genesis chapter 1. Again, the first section of the seminar deals with the word beginnings. And of course, we start out looking at the book of Genesis. As I mentioned, Genesis has 50 chapters. There are four main people in the book of Genesis and four main events. The four main events are the creation, the fall, the flood, and the scattering of nations. And the four key people are Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Genesis is, of course, the first book of the five books of the Pentateuch. And written, of course, the secretary the Lord uses is, of course, Moses. You might say, well, how did Moses write the book of Genesis? He wasn't even born yet. Well, keep in mind, Moses had plenty of opportunity when he spent time with God on Mount Sinai for God to dictate to him and tell him the details of the book of Genesis so he was well able to record it. Amongst other things, the Bible is a book of faith. Also, the Bible is a book of wisdom. It's also a book of insight, and also the Bible is a book of science. Now, some might say, well, does faith and science mix? Actually, all science, if it's true science, will line up perfectly with the Word of God. No contradiction whatsoever, because remember, science simply explains the truths of nature. And God created all of nature, and he created everything. So, of course, science perfectly lines up with the Word and the will of God. When people say, well, science and faith don't mix, what they're really typically saying is their version of science, which typically is not science at all, doesn't line up with faith. But the reality is true science will line up perfectly with the Word and the will of God. Keep in mind, in the book of Genesis, chapters 1 through 11 tell the story of man, basically the history of people. Chapters 12 to 50 tell the story of the Hebrew people and the history of the Hebrew people as well. And keep in mind, the whole Bible, all of the Old and New Testament together, they're one story. They're God's story, God's grand story as well. Keep in mind, as the book of Genesis tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the book of Genesis, it cries out the message, God's creation, as it relates to God's creation, God is good. But, you know, sadly, in the book of Genesis also, we find out how men fell into sin. The fact is, God has an enemy named Satan who doesn't like God. He hates God and hates everything God created. And so he came into the Garden of Eden and began to question Adam and Eve. And he asked, basically, remember, creation cries out the message, God is good. But the devil's question is he really good? And he was able to get Adam and Eve to question God's word and then to actually violate God's word. And, of course, sin came into the picture. Man fell into sin, and it brought all the havoc, all the trouble, all the difficulties in life are a result of men falling into sin. Sin is rebelling against God. And so we see the tragedies of the human race come. And soon after the fall, we find where Cain and Abel are walking together, and Cain murders his own brother. The first murder in Scripture, again, a result of the fall and sin coming to the world. But the fact is, as we look at the book of Genesis, early in the book of Genesis, we're introduced to a man by the name of Abraham, who is known as the father of faith. And keep in mind, all of the Bible, all of the Word of God, it's a book of faith. And so from Genesis to Revelation, one of the messages God wants us to be mindful of is the message that the just shall live by faith. We're called to live and follow God by faith. And so Abraham, who's the father of faith, is a good role model in not perfect, but overall a good role model to look to as one who heard the word of God, trusted and obeyed the word of God. Well, of course, Abraham has his son named Isaac, and then Isaac has a son by the name of Jacob, all of whom are called to follow God by faith. Jacob has 12 sons, one of whose names is Joseph, and God has a special calling upon his life to use him to help preserve not only himself, but to preserve his whole family, the whole family of Jacob. Jacob has brothers that end up being jealous of him because of some dreams that God gives him, dreams that indicate that one day he will be a ruler who will rule over them. The brothers aren't happy with that. They end up selling him off as a slave, and Joseph ends up being a slave taken to Egypt. But by the mercy and the grace of God, God raises him up from being a slave to becoming the prime minister of the powerful nation of Egypt. And one day when his brothers come needing food, through a series of, call it tests that he puts them through, eventually he does reveal to them that he is in fact their brother. And just as God had foretold through Joseph's dreams, he does in fact serve as a great ruler, who is a ruler even over the lives of his brothers as well. And so the brothers are very terrified when they find out that Joseph is the great ruler of Egypt that he is. But Joseph shares a very important message to them when they come basically hoping that he won't take their lives after their father passes away. But Joseph shares a very powerful message when he tells them, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive." Joseph could not only did he forgive his brothers, but he could see God's hand of grace working on his life so that even through all the trouble, God brought about great, great good. And that's something God does time and time in the Word of God. Even in the midst of the messes and the wicked and the ugliness of life, God is able to bring about great good. In other words, he can take a mess and make it into a masterpiece. That's how big and powerful and mighty our Heavenly Father is. And so the book of Genesis ends with Jacob and his family coming to live in Egypt. Then the next section of the presentation is referred to. Well, the first section was, of course, about beginnings. This one is wanderings. That is, the wanderings that happen with the children of Israel. This section opens up in the book of Exodus. Exodus, of course, where we're quickly introduced to an individual by the name of Moses, who initially, obviously, is a little baby, but God preserves his life miraculously. In the book of Exodus, we find that Israel has grown. There's 430 years between the end of the book of Genesis and the story of the Exodus, and Israel has grown tremendously to a mighty nation of millions of people. And the new Pharaoh has come to dread the children of Israel because they multiplied so. And so he puts them into hard bondage and slavery. And so the children of Israel are under hard bondage in the nation of Egypt. Well, of course, Moses is raised up as a leader that God would use to deliver the Israelites out of bondage. Moses, at the proper time, comes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And if Pharaoh doesn't appreciate that, and he decides to make the work that the Israelites are doing even harder, but God sends 10 plagues upon Egypt, and each plague is symbolic. It makes a statement against the gods of Egypt. But eventually, Pharaoh does allow the children of Israel to go, and God uses Moses to help deliver the children of Israel out of the bondage of the nation of Egypt. And so they end up going to Mount Sinai eventually, and there God gives them the 10 commandments that teach us about God's holiness, God's wisdom, and God's grace as well. And so the children of Israel they're poised to enter the promised land then, and they have the opportunity to go in. Moses sends in 12 spies. The spies go in, they spy out the land. 10 come back with what the Bible refers to as an evil report. 2 come back with what is considered a good report. Well, what was evil about the report of the 10 spies? They didn't believe that with God's help they could go in and conquer the promised land. A report of doubt, a report of not believing the word of God is an evil report. Whereas the 2 spies who believed that with God's help they could do it, they had a good report. Well, the Israelites sadly chose to believe the majority of the spies, the 10 spies, and they were upset and they angry, and some of them decided they wanted to get rid of Moses, and some of the Israelites even talked about going back to Egypt. They didn't trust God. So God let them have what they said. All the Israelites 20 years old and older died in the wilderness because they didn't choose to trust God initially there. And the 10 spies, sadly, they died pretty quickly. But the fact is, the only 2 individuals who were either 20 years old and older that did go into the promised land were Joshua and Caleb, the ones who believed that with God's help they could go in and conquer the promised land. So a very important faith lesson is taught through this situation that the Israelites went through. God calls us to be a people that will hear his word and trust his word. Again, the just shall live by faith. So Joshua and Caleb did live to see Israel cross over into the promised land, and Joshua was their commander to do just that. And so we move from the end of Exodus, but the end of a portion of the Pentateuch, and then we go into the book of Joshua. And the book of Joshua is about the Israelites crossing into the promised land. And so here in this next section, we call it the promised land. It's talking about the books of Joshua and the books of Judges as well. Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you for the fact that your word gives us wisdom, guidance, and direction that help us to discern your will, your work, and what you call us to do. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace. Help us to be believers that are wise enough to put your word to work in our lives each and every day. And help us to be anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to become diligent students who are reading at least 3 chapters in our Bibles every single day and being blessed by that habit. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Just a reminder to you that keep in mind, all of the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God teaches us in Ephesians chapter 6 that, amongst other things, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. It's the most powerful weapon in the world. There are at least 7 ways we can use the Word of God as the weapon that it is, and we're wise to be mindful of that. Daily we can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. All 7 ways are ways that we can use the Word of God as the supernatural weapon that it is. It's the sword of the Spirit, and using it in each way edifies us, but also can be used to build the kingdom of God and tear down the kingdom of darkness. Again, those 7 ways, again, daily we can read the word of God, read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Keep in mind, all of them are related, but none are quite the same thing. You can read the word of God, but not choose to pray the word of God. You can speak the word of God, but maybe not choose to meditate on the word of God. all of the ways that we put God's word to work is a wise and a productive way to live. We're called to do just that. You know, amongst other things, one of the things it speaks about is praying the word of God as well. And if you're not praying God's word on a daily basis, I hope that you'll choose to do that today. One of the prayer tools that we often may talk about or refer to here on the Hour of Intercession is a prayer tool we call Kingdom Prayers, which has about 12 or 13 or so Bible-based prayers, and amongst other things, prayers based on the Word of God. Our challenge and encouragement to you is that daily that you'll take time to pray all of them. In particular, the prayer of Jabez is one prayer that is especially fruitful to pray every day. The prayer of Isaiah as well. The prayer of Jabez is this prayer. Lord, thank you for all of us that we've prayed for today. Bless each and every one of us indeed. Expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mighty upon each one of us. Keep each one of us from evil, that we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, that was the prayer of Jabez. Well, the prayer of Isaiah is also found in Isaiah chapter 6. Dear Lord, here we are. We're available. Send each one of us on many miracle missions this day. Here we are. Send us, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. As today we're walking through the Bible, specifically the Old Testament. We'll be right back. Music of Brian and Katie Torwalt with He is the Light. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're going through a portion of material covered in the seminar called Walk Through the Bible OT Live. And so we're now in the section referred to as Promised Land. It's the portion of the Old Testament where it tells the story of Joshua as he leads the children of Israel into the Promised Land to go forth to conquer it. So specifically, we're focusing on the book of Joshua and the book of Judges in the Old Testament. And keep in mind, the goal now is there to go into the Promised Land and claim the inheritance that the Lord has promised to them. The book of Joshua has 12 chapters about conquering the land and 12 chapters about settling the land. And of course, Joshua was one of the 12 spies that went in to spy out the land. And also be mindful, too, that in the book of Joshua, there are about 30 battles to fight before the land basically could be claimed by Israel. Now, one might ask, is God really interested in land? Well, I guess he is, apparently so. The word land is used 87 times in the book of Joshua. So apparently real estate has a place in the heart and the mind of God. Now, of course, obviously it's not more important than people, but the fact is, land is important apparently as well. And keep in mind, when the priests come to move into the Promised Land, they come to the Jordan River and they step into the river first. Now, keep in mind, when Israel was going to cross the Red Sea sometime back in the book of Exodus, Well, of course, God used Moses to stretch out his rod and open the Red Sea before they even stepped into it. Well, this time, again, in faith and obedience, first the priests have to step into the water a little bit, and then the waters part. So again, we see they had to put their faith to work because God's battle strategy for every situation just may change from one situation to the next. And our job is to listen to God and do what he says. And so God uses Joshua to go forth into the promised land and conquer the promised land. And they do, in fact, defeat the promised land and settle the land. Joshua is 110 years old when he dies. But he challenges Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So his encouragement is be faithful to the Lord. And so Joshua is a powerful book, but it's a book about spiritual military conquest. We're called to be warriors in this world, and we're called to be warriors who trust God and obey God in all and every circumstance. So that's an important truth to be mindful of. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 tell us these important words. Joshua 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Reading verse 9 one more time. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, Joshua chapter 1 is a chapter I would encourage every believer listening, make it your goal to read and meditate on Joshua chapter 1 regularly. In fact, probably 2 or 3 times a week, I think, is a wise goal, and let me explain why. Keep in mind, every believer has a calling and maybe several callings on our lives. But the fact is, none of us can carry out the call of God upon our lives without courageously putting our faith to work. All of us are called to walk by faith. The Word of God tells us a number of times, the just shall live by faith. So Joshua chapter 1 is a great faith encouragement chapter to read often. So I would challenge and encourage you to read it regularly. Again, 2 or 3 times a week, I think, would be wise, because we're called to, in spite of the ways the devil will try to make us fearful or discourage us or make us think we can't carry out what God is calling us to do, with God's help, we can fully fulfill all the call of God upon our lives. But we need to do it in faith and trust in our Heavenly Father. What are you called of God to do? That's an important question. It's important for you to seek God in his word and in prayer to find out what that calling is. Then trust God, put your faith to work, and trust him courageously, as Joshua 1 encourages us to. Courageously set out to fully fulfill all God's calling on your life, whatever that may be. Well, following the book of Joshua, we go to the book of Judges. So just before we go to the book of Judges, we're going to take time to pray Psalm 91. Just remember, again, we talked about 7 ways to use the word. One of them is praying the word of God. And my encouragement to you is that you'll pray Psalm 91 every day of your life, because remember, in this dangerous, crazy world, no one can protect you like the Lord can. Lord, thank you for all those believers and persons that we've lifted up in prayer today. Thank you for all those that make up our listening family. Lord, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terrible night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked, because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation. No evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, now looking then briefly at the book of Judges. Judges is a book by individuals that were leaders in Israel in this point in time in the history of the nation of Israel that we refer to as judges. Now, they're not judges like the ones that wear long black robes and that preside over courtrooms, but these judges, the word judge really referred to leaders who were more or less heroes and military leaders that would help provide leadership for Israel. And the fact is, the book of Judges actually is a time period in Israel where it was really a dark time period, though, because Israel began to move away from the Lord in a number of ways. And they went through cycles on a regular basis, and God used the judges to help point them back to God. But some of the judges were Gideon, Deborah, Samson, and there were others, too. But again, one of the goals behind the judges was to provide leadership, strong leadership for them, but also to point them back to God. They would, in the book of Judges, a number of times, the Israelites would go through a cycle of, they would sin, and then they would be brought into servitude. Then thirdly, then they'd call upon God through supplication and prayer, and then God, in his mercy and love, would deliver them, provide salvation for them, and there'd be a period of silence, and then the cycle would seem to start all over again. Again, they'd go from sin to servitude to supplication and prayer, salvation from the Lord, and then a period of silence for a period of time. But one of the verses, Judges chapter 21, verse 25, kind of sums up one of the tragic messages of the book. It said, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And what a tragedy. When people do what's right in their own eyes and don't follow the word of God, it always leads to great difficulty. So the book of Judges overall is somewhat of a dark period in the nation, in the history of the nation of Israel. But the book of Ruth, which takes place during the time of the judges, is a beautiful story. It's a love story, amongst other things, but it's a powerful story about a young Moabitess widow who she marries a young Jewish man, but he dies. And she travels from the home that her family, the Jewish family had moved to, was Moab, and Moab was a cursed land. But Ruth, who's a Moabitess, does choose to follow her mother-in-law Naomi after Naomi has lost her husband and her two sons, one of which was the young man that Ruth had married. And Ruth goes with her back to Bethlehem, and Ruth takes care of her mother-in-law, but she puts her faith and trust in the God of Israel. And so Ruth, by the mercy of God, when she arrives on the scene in Bethlehem, she goes out into the fields to glean, which was the job of a poor person. But she has put her faith and trust in God. And just to make a long story short, God raises Ruth up from the point of being a poor person gleaning in the fields to where eventually God allows her to marry a rich farmer by the name of Boaz. And at the end of the story, Ruth owns the fields she used to glean in. And see, we serve a God that's big enough to take the messes of our lives and make our story into a masterpiece as we put our faith and trust in God. Ruth put her faith and trust in the Lord, and God raised her up, and not only did he did he make her to be one of the owners of the fields. God also places Ruth in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we serve a God that's big enough to take, again, the messes of our lives and make them into a masterpiece of a beautiful story like the book of Ruth. Read the book of Ruth when you have opportunity sometime. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we do want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us, get in touch with us so that we can share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please get in touch again at email joseph@afr.net. Once again, if you're able to this Saturday in the Jackson, Mississippi community, if you can be with us at Pearl Street AME Church, 9 a.m. for a Walk Through the Bible seminar, we invite you to come out again, 9 a.m. this Saturday, the 22nd, Pearl Street AME Church, 2519 Robinson Street in Jackson, Mississippi. Please come out. We look forward to meeting and talking with you there. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.